The final case to be heard this morning is number 2015-1192. Olentangy Local Schools Board of Education versus Delaware County Board of Revision. And the appellant is the Board of Education. So we'll hear from Ms. Gorey.
Thank you very much. May it please the court. I'm Kelly Gorey with Rich and Gillis Law Group, here today on behalf of the Olentangy Local School District. I want to start off with, a little bit of the factual background on this case. This is actually the second time it has come back up to the court on appeal. What is involved here is a 22-acre parcel of vacant land. About 50% of it is encumbered with the, it's a pond and a shared access driveway that are imposed through the deed restrictions through the homeowners association. The first time this came to the BTA, they looked at the owner's appraisal. The appraiser there admitted, I think about three or four times at each, the BOR hearing and the BTA hearing, that he was valuing it subject to the private voluntary encumbrances at the request of the owner and its counsel. So the first time on appeal, there was a hearing held at the BTA. The parties submitted briefs. Legal arguments were actually made by both parties. The first BTA decision didn't address the facts that the property was actually encumbered and didn't address any of the parties' legal arguments and simply applied the three-part test, which is appraiser appeared as of lien date for ad valorem tax purposes. And the Board of Education appealed, we submitted a joint motion to remand back to the BTA with instructions that the BTA consider both of the parties' legal arguments. And those were whether or not, the appraisal violated Muirfield, which is the court's holding that private voluntary easements that are placed upon a property by a homeowners association cannot be considered because true value is unencumbered here in Ohio. And the second legal argument was whether or not the Ohio Administrative Code provisions that allow the auditor to consider all facts and circumstances, including easements, I believe, is actually in the code provision, whether or not that authorized Algoma's appraiser to value it specifically as encumbered. And the BTA did discuss both of those legal arguments and made a series of about four factual findings. And as we have explained in our brief, we don't believe that those factual findings have actual support in the record. And as in East Bank 2, the court recognized that it can accept a particular valuation only if it finds that the record affirmatively supports that valuation.
Let me go back to your procedural account. You said that this case came to this court previously?
Correct.
Okay, and then it was remanded by agreement of the parties?
Correct, and the court accepted that agreement and remanded back to the BTA.
Okay.
With a specific instruction to consider those two legal arguments.
Okay.
And so then at the BTA, I don't believe another hearing was conducted. I don't have a record of it if it was. The BTA then issued the second decision, which said, essentially, we acknowledge Muirfield, implicitly agreeing that property is to be valued as unencumbered. This is a tax year 2011 case, so there's no issue that
the statute
applies.
Doesn't apply.
Correct.
Okay.
So they say in its sentence, we acknowledge Muirfield. We acknowledge that Mr. Kuhn repeatedly admitted that he did value this property as subject to these voluntary deed restrictions. But however, we find that, and this was sort of the first blanket factual conclusion, that the data in Mr. Kuhn's report, which values the property as encumbered, also supports the exact same value without the encumbrances. There's three sentences following that. There's no citations to the record. What's missing here is the necessary step that the BTA would have had to have had in the record to enable those conclusions. Mr. Kuhn performed qualitative, merely upward, downward adjustments to the six sales that he used. In neither the BOR or the BTA does he testify anywhere about the magnitude of those specific adjustments. The record itself is literally silent as to the magnitude of what he called the site utility adjustment for the easements. In the BOR, he did testify about the size adjustment to a certain extent. He was asked, okay, in performing your size adjustment, did you use the 22 acres or did you use the 10 acres? And Mr. Kuhn said, no, I used the 22 acres because the only place I've considered the easements is in this site utility adjustment. And that was it. He didn't speak to the magnitude there. He also didn't speak to the magnitude at the BTA hearing. So it wasn't as simple as, oh, there's a percentage adjustment that we can simply remove from the conclusions of value for each sale. That just isn't there. And so there's no information in the record for the BTA to determine how Mr. Kuhn would have valued the property if he had disregarded his admittedly downward adjustment to each one of the six sales. And then the second factual finding is a little bit more specific. The BTA concluded that his encumbered value conclusion of $26,000 per acre is bracketed by the sales that he chose, even if not considering the site utility adjustment. Well, again, there's no way to determine what his conclusion would have been without the site utility adjustment because there's no evidence as to the magnitude. So if we're disregarding all of the other adjustments that he made to the sales, and he did make at least two adjustments to every single sale, then we're left with nothing but the unadjusted range of sales from $11,000 an acre to $65,000 an acre. So yes, the conclusion of $26,000 per acre is within that range, but so also is the auditor's original valuation, which was $29,000 an acre. So the fact that the unadjusted comparable sales are bracket the unencumbered value conclusion is irrelevant because the auditor's original value is also bracketed by the sales. The third specific factual finding was that Mr. Kuhn testified that the encumbrances had very little effect upon his value conclusion. This just simply isn't in the record because Mr. Kuhn didn't talk about either the magnitude or the impact of the downward site utility adjustment, except that he clearly stated, we're adjusting every single one of these sales downward because they have 100% utility and the site only has 50% utility. The only thing that I saw in the record was that at the BTA hearing, counsel for the Board of Education asked Mr. Kuhn, okay, so you're adjusting the subject property downward for these encumbrances. If you were appraising the neighboring lots surrounding this common area here upon which a house could also be built, Would you correspondingly increase, would you make an adjustment to the home sites upward to account for the pond and the access driveway? And Mr. Kuhn first says, yes, there's definitely a value. There's value from the pond. I would adjust all the surrounding lots upward. And then he says, but I don't know about the access driveway. Everybody presumes that they're going to have access to their home when they're buying a home. And so then he says, well, wait a second. Actually, this is a very long driveway. So there's probably some benefit to the surrounding lots and even the subject property from not having to maintain six very long driveways. But that's it. That's all that's in the record. Mr. Kuhn doesn't then say, and so I determined that I would have valued the property the same without the site utility adjustment. The facts just aren't in the record, nor is any part of the record cited for that conclusion. And then the final factual finding, and I did go through all these in depth in my brief, but I just wanted to hit the highlights on them. So the fourth one is that Mr. Kuhn placed primary reliance upon sale 4. In both the BOR and the BTA hearings, he doesn't talk about any of the sales. He doesn't talk about the adjustments to the sales. He doesn't talk about which sale he placed reliance on. But in the appraisal, he does say, and it's on page F22, he says, he doesn't say primary emphasis, he says the emphasis is placed on sale 4 because it was most similar in size. However, and then he also says, but in an inferior location and with all utilities. And so the somehow the BTA concluded that because that sale was for, that was the lowest sale in the record, which was like at $11,917 an acre. They concluded that in disregarding all the other adjustments to that sale also supports the $26,000 per acre valuation as if unencumbered. But the problem with that is that you would have to disregard the three other adjustments that Mr. Kuhn made to that sale. And in the Buckeye Hospitality case, I think it certainly isn't a direct holding, but I think it was implied that when an appraiser makes adjustments to the sale, it is important to consider all of those adjustments together, certainly not in isolation. And Mr. Kuhn's value conclusion at $26,000 per acre, even if he placed the emphasis on that sale 4, he would have had made significant upward adjustments. And that I think the reason why he did that is because sale 4, number 1, was adjacent to a massive water treatment plant. And then it was also located in a floodplain. So assuming that you are going to disregard those two adjustments entirely, Mr. Kuhn wouldn't have arrived at a $26,000 valuation per acre. He had to have had made significant adjustments upward to that sale. So again, the fact that the BTA is disregarding those other adjustments and saying, okay, well, so let's take the, again, unadjusted sale price. If we take that range, that equally supports the auditor's original valuation. This is simply a case of where the facts are not in the record to support the BTA decision. And as the court recognized in East Bank 2, those facts have to be in that record for this court to affirm the particular valuation of the BTA. So our position would be that it's illogical. It was an illogical conclusion for the BTA to conclude that Mr. Kuhn's admittedly encumbered valuation is the exact same as unencumbered. There just aren't the facts in the record for the BTA to have gotten there. So our position would be that it's proper to reinstate the auditor's original valuation because there's actually evidence in the record that supports it. However, Could the court remand back to the BTA? Sure, but our position would be that probably additional evidence would have to be taken because Mr. Kuhn didn't testify as to the magnitude of those adjustments. But that certainly would be well within this court's power if it elected to do so. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Gorey. Mr. Palmer.
Good morning, Master Commissioner. May it please the court. My name is Thomas Palmer, representing the Appellee, the Algoma Group. The arguments made by the Board of Education here are troubling in that they are asking this court to do a few things that I don't think it should do. One, it's asking this court to create new law that qualitative adjustments to comparable sales are illegal as a matter of law when that is not the law of Ohio. It is asking the court to ignore ample unchallenged evidence of value in this case. And if you don't ignore that evidence, then it's asking the court to basically weigh the evidence of the BTA, presented to the BTA when we all know that the BTA enjoys discretion in that review. Turning to qualitative and versus quantitative adjustments, I should expand a bit on what Ms. Gorey summarized as the BTA's decision here. The BTA did not value this property encumbered. It specifically ruled as follows. The data and analysis in Kuhn's appraisal report properly supports his ultimate opinion of value, $226,000 per acre, even if deed restrictions on the subject property are not considered. What the BTA did is it looked at the evidence before that is unchallenged and just struck a line through the utility adjustment. Nowhere in the record did the BTA state that we're disregarding all adjustments. Therefore, there's no dispute in the record whether comparable sales occurred. There's no dispute over the amounts of those sales. There's no dispute over the arm's length nature of those sales. And there's no dispute over the details of each comparable property. Those comps were adjusted qualitatively. That's permitted. One of the cases relied upon by the Board of Education in its brief, SPECA, supports that. In SPECA, there is no legal holding that qualitative adjustments are improper. In fact, if you look, Master Commissioner, at page 11 of that opinion, the majority in SPECA relies upon the appraisal of real estate, which states, if there is insufficient support for a quantitative adjustment, the element of comparison is addressed using qualitative analysis. That's proper. It's proper by BTA law. Therefore, there is ample evidence before the BTA for it to reach its opinion of value, which it did, and it did properly under 57-1703. In addition, in bolstering the BTA's decision here, is Statutory Transcript Exhibit 11. That is a recommendation to the County Board of Revision that values this property at $24,000 an acre, and a grand total of $530,000 based upon comparable sales. And two of those sales overlap with sales used in Mr. Kuhn's report. The recommendation, Statutory Transcript 11, comparable sales 3 and 4 are identical to Kuhn's 2 and 3. In addition, the recommendation to the BOR has another comparable sale, a third at $23,000 per acre. So if we were to look at the record before the BTA, in fact, Your Honor, previous argument in this case, we all heard today how many people in the room believe that if the BOR goes outside of the evidence presented at hearing, it should be part of the statutory transcript. It is in this case. There's ample evidence before the BTA and before Your Honor to affirm the BTA. The BTA weighed the evidence before it. It was undisputed. It reached value. It specifically withdrew and struck the data that the Board of Education objected to being a site utility adjustment due to an easement. Therefore, we think the whole foundation and basis of error argued by the Board of Education is incorrect in this case. The auditor's original value is bracketed by comparable sales. That is immaterial to this case, Your Honor. We all know we are to defer to the BTA's discretion when weighing evidence. Counsel's opinion or a statement of opinion or fact even that a value by the auditor also is bracketed by comparable sales is not an analysis of what the BTA did. It's just a fact opinion, and counsel's fact opinion obviously is not record in the case, the BTA's is. Kuhn did not testify that encumbrances had little effect. It sounds familiar to me. I can see that that is not in the record as written. I even went to the BTA to see if I could listen to an audio recording. Unfortunately, there is none. Nevertheless, it is immaterial because the BTA specifically stated the opinion of value is supported with all the other data, regardless of the site utility adjustment. The value we're reaching here in this case is unencumbered. Therefore, the whole encumbrance issue presented this to this court is now immaterial and irrelevant. Thank you. I have no more.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Palmer. Ms. Gorey, you have 15 seconds. Those will be the highest of the high points.
I will try to get two words out. The first thing is the not an issue is whether qualitative adjustments are proper. We totally agree that they are. Whether the issue is whether or not there's evidence in the record for the BTA to determine the magnitude of those adjustments, to properly strike the site utility adjustment, and then determine an unencumbered value. We believe the record is not sufficient to have enabled it to do so. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Gorey. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.